Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Amy Friedrich. You may begin.
Thank you, Shirley. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the bi-monthly UM Technical Assistance Conference Call, and thank you for your attendance today. We have with us from the Collaborative, Dr. Todd Kasdan, Kelly Canestrari, Pat Palmer, Naisa Bell. From DMH, we have Ms. Leanne Reiner. Ms. Pat Palmer has a few announcements to be made. Pat?
Thanks, Amy, and good afternoon, everybody. A couple of questions have come up from various providers since our last call, and so I'd like to take this opportunity just to clarify a couple of issues for folks out there. First of all, if you have a consumer who dies, we'd appreciate it if you would let us know. We have some quality assurance kinds of activities that we go through when a consumer dies, when they're in treatment or receiving services from you. So we would greatly appreciate it if you would just give us a call here at the Collaborative and let us know if you have an active consumer who passes away while they're receiving services from you. Also, we're having some folks who are requesting authorization for services months in advance of when you're going to need those services to begin. And, of course, as you know, things can change drastically within the course of time. So if it's possible at all, we would appreciate it if you would submit your requests for authorization to us within about a 30-day time frame of when you anticipate beginning services for those consumers. That'll make it easier for you and for us. When those things change and we don't have to redo things, then we'll all be on the same page at a timely point in time to provide services for those consumers. Also, just a reminder that we authorize in units, and units are different than hours. There are 4 units to an hour. So when you are requesting services, please keep that in mind as well, that we will talk with you in terms of units, 4 units to an hour. And finally, yes, you may request more than 40 units. Some folks seem to have an impression that they can only request up to 40 units. You may indeed request more than 40 units. However, of course, those units and the authorization are still subject to medical necessity criteria being met by that consumer. And we'll certainly be glad to work with you when you call and answer any questions you have about that. But those were just a few things that have come up in the last 60 days or so that I just wanted to throw out there for you and to clarify, and hopefully that makes it a little bit clearer to folks out there and will make your jobs much easier as well. All right. Thanks, Amy. I'll put it back to you now.
All right. Shirley, we are now ready to open up the line to questions, and if you would, please let us know when there are no more questions in the queue.
Thank you. At this time, we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name clearly. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment for our first question. At this time, I'm showing no questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 at this time. And we do have a question now from Sharon Larson. You may ask your question.
Hi. I have a question regarding billing for the reauthorization process. I'm not sure if that is acceptable or not under case management.
Hi, Sharon. It's Leanne Reiner from DMH. We have answered that question before in our Q&A documents that are on the website. What you need to do is refer to the service definition reimbursement guide and any activities defined as case management within the service definition reimbursement guide that hasn't changed. So if you are doing things related to the authorization that fall within the case management definition, then you can bill for that as case management.
Okay, so if the consumer is with us as we're doing the reauthorization, that could be billed under case management?
Well, again, as long as what you're doing with the consumer at the time falls within definition of case management. I'm trying to pull up the language for you real quickly here.
Okay. Yeah, that would be helpful.
On my computer to... Sorry, I've been having kind of a slow computer the last couple days. Okay. Almost there. The SDRG, the Service Definition Reimbursement Guide, describes case management mental health as, in part, as assessing the need for service, identifying and investigating available resources, explaining options to the client, and assisting in the application process. So if you are doing those types of activities related to the authorization, then those fall within the definition of case management mental health.
Okay, so like assessing the need for services, I would think would fall under that category
and
during the authorization.
Sources, explaining options, assisting in application process. Yes.
Okay. All right. And then I had another question. There was some activity, and I didn't catch the amount of time that you didn't want the authorizations requested prior to over a month, but I missed the time frame that you had stated.
Hey, this is Pat. Within about 30 days.
Okay, so no more than 30 days prior.
That would be helpful, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
And the reason for that is that, you know, part of the authorization process that we're looking at is how a person has responded to treatment, and that's part of the determining factor of medical necessity to continue the treatment. So if you're requesting it months in advance, we really don't have accurate information for the clinical care managers to be looking at the person's current response to treatment or progress in treatment.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you have a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Janine Edmondson. You may ask your question.
Hi. We are in the process of having our clinicians do their own reauthorizations, and it was my understanding from looking online that each person needs to have their own individual sign-in or ID and password in order to do the reauthorization. Is that correct?
Pat or Kelly from the Collaborative, can you answer that question?
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Okay. This is Kelly. I think that as long as you have, you know, I guess it's up to each agency if they share their password and sign in, and that's what some of the other agencies have done. They use what their, you know, they all use that one sign in.
So like the sign in that I normally use, because I'm the one that has been submitting all the authorizations, I can share that with the clinicians, and they can all do it under that one.
That's my understanding. I'm not sure. I can double check and get back to you on that if you'll, you know, leave your number.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 618-542-4357, and my extension is 233.
Your name?
Janine Edmondson.
Yeah, let us do some double checking on that, Janine, and we'll get back to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, just press star 1. And one moment, please. And And we do have a question from Susan Reynolds. You may ask your question.
Hi. Could you just generally review the process for the random audits? We've had some confusion in terms of we will get an authorization, so, and clinicians would be providing the service, and then several weeks later they'll get an email about, or a fax actually, I think it usually is, about the case being audited, so they have to send additional documentation. Now, there's been, again, a lag time in that approval, I don't know what it's actually called, passing the audit, coming back. And is that going to show up on the website, or will clinicians receive that directly by fax? It's been handled differently for different clients.
This is Pat from the Collaborative. Let me clarify what you're asking. Are you asking how you get notification back as to whether you've passed the audit or not?
Yes. What's the process?
It's the same as an original auth.
So clinicians will receive faxes?
You should get a letter.
Right, you should get the
You'll get a letter. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get a letter saying that you've passed the audit.
Right.
Okay, but it should show up on the website sooner than that, or?
Yeah, it should, because you put it in along with it.
Okay, so it's put in at the same time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should be able to see it on the website, and then you'll get a follow-up letter in the mail.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes we've gotten the letter, and then it shows up on the website. Sometimes it's on the website, and then we get the letter.
Well, we put in a request for the letter. We don't have any control on when the letter actually gets to you. But if it's on the website, then that's the one that's more, current and direct.
Okay.
Does that help?
And what should be the time frame for that? Once we submit the documents for the audit, we have the 10 days. And then what's the time frame on hearing back?
You should generally hear back within about 30 days.
Within 30, okay.
Once we receive the documentation.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Thank you. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Lori Keller. You may ask your question.
Hi, I'm not sure if this is the correct place to ask this question, but I'm noticing on the MEDI system, the managed care organization usually says Aetna or AetnaCare for the ICPs, and I'm starting to see other managed care organizations pop up, and it creates a concern for knowing who I'm supposed to get authorization from. Can I get clarification on if there are new ICPs that are coming down the pike that we're not aware of, or if we can assume that we need to continue to request authorizations for these folks even though it looks like they're getting billed through somebody else?
This is Leanne from DMH. I have not heard of any additional managed care corporations besides the two for the ICP, but this is not an HFS call, and that's an HFS issue, so I don't want to, give you a definitive answer. It's something that you probably need to follow up on through the HFS technical assistance system. They have TA calls, and they also have a question and answer line.
Okay. So if it doesn't say Aetna or AetnaCare, I should assume that my request for authorization, it should be processed through the collaborative?
I don't know the answer to that. It is an HFS question. I don't know why it would be showing up as something else. If the person has Medicaid and DMH is responsible for reimbursing their care, then you should seek authorization through DMH. But I would encourage you to contact HFS and ask them why those things look different than the two managed care companies for ICP. Because, again, I'm not aware of any others that should be showing up. But, you know, I don't want to direct you to do something assuming that it's a DMH reimbursement responsibility and then it's not, and then you're stuck not being able to get reimbursed for the services. So I would encourage you to follow up with HFS.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. And if you have a question, just press star 1 at this time. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay, Amy, I don't have anything more for the call.
Okay. All right. If there are no more questions in the queue, then that will conclude our call for today. I would like to remind the audience that today's call audio will be posted under the Provider Resources heading on the Provider Information page of the Collaborative's website. This will be in MP3 format for download within 2 to 3 business days. Shirley, please push the speakers through to post-conference, and you may now disconnect the main line.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your line.